Brady goes for the deep shot. He's got a touchdown! Scotty Miller!
Oh my God!
Stead across the middle to Hill. Don't even know how to bring him down. Look at him go! Oh, and Hill takes it to the four. Almost got it.
This is High Motor by BetMGM. Andrew Doughty and Chase Kitty on High Motor by BetMGM. We're talking Monday after conference championships. Do you remember how I opened the show last week? It was Thursday's episode. Yeah, because it was the last episode going to conference championship games. Do you remember what I opened with and what I asked you right off the top?
Yeah, and that was not lost on me this weekend.
So me asking you about 07 Backyard Brawl, you were okay when Kevin King did that, even though you had money on Kevin King.
Do you feel personally responsible for the Packers losing this weekend? Who do you think is more responsible, you or Kevin King?
I did it because I put that in there because I felt like it was time. Like, so when the Packers lost to the Seahawks back, and I think it was the 14 or 15 season, you know, the whole onside kick, that whole debacle. So after the game, I went into the bedroom right after Russell Wilson hit. I can't remember who it was, Curse maybe. And I turned the light on very aggressively, and I cracked the light switch, right? So we've actually moved out of this place and back in, and that light switch remained cracked until about a month ago. And I thought, you know what? It's time. So I fixed the light switch, put on a new plate, and then last Thursday, or like we recorded on last Wednesday night, I chopped up that 07 Giants game because it was time, because this felt like the season. Like, this felt different. Last year going to the Niners game, it didn't feel like a Super Bowl team. It didn't feel like a Super Bowl team. And that Falcons game, what about now, 4 years removed from it? This felt like the Super Bowl team to me. So I will bear some responsibility because clearly that light switch should not have been fixed.
Yeah.
I should not have chopped up the
This is so
the
much
highlights.
More your fault than I first thought. I mean, wow.
So Brady did hit Scotty Miller over Kevin King with the single high safety, 39 yards. That opening was for the people, at least some people, the few who carried Bucks tickets. The odds makers and books definitely did well in that game. That was for those people because I'm certain that highlight wasn't for me. It was actually the first time, I just mentioned to you before we hopped on the show here, that was the first time I watched it through because I walked away. Like, as the ball was in the air, that was my concern going into the play. I didn't think the Bucs were just going to take the 5 yard out. And then as the ball was in the air and I saw very predictably Kevin King two full strides behind Miller, like, I don't even think I saw it caught in the moment. I think the ball was in the air and I was up and off the couch before the ball was caught. So that was actually the first time, pulling that audio, you know, half hour ago, that was the first time I saw that play, and that one hurt. I mean, that hurt me deep. It hurt you as a bettor. It hurt a lot of bettors carrying Packers tickets. About three quarters. I didn't see what the final number was, but I think as of Sunday morning, it was like three quarters of tickets, 73 or 77%, something like that, coming in on the Packers. I still think it was the right bet, as we both laid out last week. Like, I know that you don't look back and say, as a result, now it's different. I think it was still the right bet. It was the smart bet, and sometimes it just doesn't work. And hopefully you were all smart enough to take that gift of a Chiefs line later on to balance out the losses on the Packers this weekend. Maybe some people in Michigan, a warm welcome to anyone from Michigan checking out the show for the first time. Some big numbers coming out of Michigan. It was awesome to get BetMGM there. And then another biggie coming, your Commonwealth of Virginia, coming very soon. So any Virginia folks dropping by today for the first time, keep a close eye on that. BetMGM is coming to Virginia very soon. Do Virginia people get mad when it's called a state and not a commonwealth? Like, is that a thing there?
No, I think that's Pennsylvania. What is the guy from CNN that will stop the show? Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper will, like, stop the show if you say the state of Pennsylvania and make you correct yourself. I don't think Virginia people really care. We're just kind of hanging out.
The Chiefs are 3-point favorites. First half spread on that, 2.5 for the Super Bowl. We're not going to get into those numbers today. We have a lot to talk about after the conference championships, but we'll get more into them over the next three episodes. So today, We won't talk those, but Thursday the 28th, and then Monday the 1st, and then Thursday the 4th. Spreads, props, historical stuff. We're going to break it all down before the Super Bowl. Check out those lines on BetMGM.com. Hit us with any mailbag questions if you're curious about a particular number, a particular prop, at High Motor Pod on Twitter, at High Motor Pod. Two big topics for today. Number one, I want to talk about football plays versus non-football plays, and I'll get into what that means in a minute because we'll start there. And then number two is a topic of mutual exclusivity. And I want to talk about it because I think Sunday was the perfect example on how to reasonably evaluate a game with a level head. Like, it is possible the Kevin King pass interference call, not the last play of the game, but the play that essentially sealed it, it was both the right call and surprising given how the game was called. I mean, these games have, what is like 145, 150 plays, billions of moving parts. We don't need to pick one piece and say no to the other one. We can have different opinions for the same play, for the same game. In the case of the King PI, the same game here, I'm very intrigued by this topic, and I'm certain that you are going to bring a good perspective to how we evaluate games, how we evaluate plays, how we evaluate big plays, because I think you were spot on throughout a very bizarre college football season, kind of with this topic that we don't have to just pick one side. There can be that middle ground. So starting with that first topic I mentioned, I was going back to Tom Brady's miracle heave. So after the Packers tied the game on the Valdez Scantling touchdown, 7-7, and the Bucs had third down and long, and that was Tom Brady's miracle heave to Chris Godwin that set up the Fournette score. To me, that was just a football play. Like, as a Packers fan, it was extremely frustrating to watch it, but it's not frustrating to the point where I'm going to criticize Darnell Savage, who's had a really sensational season. Him and Adrian Amos, probably the top safety duo in the league. So I'm not to the point of criticizing Savage. Like, should he have broken it up? Yeah, of course he should have. I mean, he was in position. He was right there. Godwin just out-muscled him for the ball. But to me, that was a football play. Like, the fourth down conversion right before the half, that sucked too, but that was still a football play to me. As a fan, those don't really ever bother me, purely as a fan. What bothers me is the non-football part of this. Even though it's still football, I'm going to call it non-football here. What bothers me is Mike Pettine calling a single high safety from the 39 on what was either going to be just a 5 or a 6 yard out for a field goal attempt, or the deep pass, which obviously the Patriots did. If it's a 5 yard out, just let them have it, whatever, that's fine. 17-10 at half, if they even make the long field goal. To me, the non-football part of it is Pettine ruining a play before it even happened. And then actually when the play happened, King was doing something to me that wasn't football. Whatever that wasn't a football play. That was something else, whatever he was doing. Those are the ones that I have a really hard time with. The calls and the plays that I don't believe are football plays. The plays that then aren't reading and reacting. Because maybe this could be another podcast topic. I don't think we talk enough about athletes getting enough credit for reading and reacting in the game. They're so good at that, but we rarely notice it because it always looks like the scripted play. I mean, recognizing like a safety slight lean 20 yards down the field and you're hitting a guy on a 40-yard post is insane, but we never give players enough credit for doing stuff like that. So even if you read and react wrong, that's always been fine with me because that's just sports. I mean, that's what makes teams better, but I also think there's probably a competitive balance piece in there too. Those split-second reactions oftentimes will fuel upsets in some cases. What Kevin King did, though, whatever he was thinking pre-snap and then 5 yards into that route just doing nothing, I don't know. That's the part of me, I don't know how to handle that play. Like, do you follow me here? I'm okay with the sacks. Like, those sacks sucked. It sucks watching Barrett smoke Rick Wagner and thinking Bakhtiari is out. If he would have been, Bakhtiari would have been out there, Turner's in his natural spot on the right side instead of the left side, yada, yada, yada. I'm just not okay with the non-football call for Mike Pettine and the non-football play from Kevin King. Are you following me here while I'm venting, or are you just waiting for your turn to talk?
Yeah, I'm following you. I think to rephrase what you're saying, there are acceptable ways to get beat, and there are unacceptable ways to get beat.
Yeah, probably right? Say non-football is not the right way here, but to me, it's the read and react.
You want to get beat in a conventional way, in a way that makes sense to you as a consumer of football, right? You want to get beat because Tampa's defensive line is overpowering Green Bay's offensive line. And it sucks, and losing's no fun, But like, that's easy to process is, hey, that one jump, I want to say it was in the fourth quarter, that Tampa's Barrett defensive had, end. Yeah, Shaq Barrett just like absolutely nails the timing of when the snap is going to be, and Rodgers goes down in 5 seconds. Like, that's good play, man.
Like, what are you going to do about
it? Way to go. That was awesome.
Yeah, even if Bakhtiari's playing on the left side and Turner's in his natural spot on the right, like, nobody is stopping that play. The best all-pro tackle in the league, nobody's going to do anything about it.
So, you could have Black Panther playing left tackle.
It doesn't bother
me.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Not one bit.
So, that, I think that's one way. And then, on the other hand, there's this thing over here, and we don't know what to call it, but it's just the ways that are so excruciating to lose football games where, hey, man, you didn't get beat, you gave it away. Like, and that's not the same thing. And I think that's what you're saying.
It's exactly what I'm saying. I think because, I mean, sometimes in a game we'll see multiple plays like that. In the case of the Packers, I think there were two elements, Pettine calling what he called. If he had called something different than the single high safety, would somebody have been over there to help King? I don't know. I mean, that's a long ways to go on a 39-yard pass, maybe if it was like a 60-yarder. But it was two elements within the play. And a lot of games, there are multiple plays like this. I mean, sometimes it's a personal foul. Sometimes it's a roughing the passer. Sometimes it's just something stupid. But in this game, like, that was the play, and that's the play that stands above anything else in that game. That's really the only play for me. I mean, for the reason I just said, but also, like, the Bucs just did not play that well. Like, aside from the one Fournette touchdown run, their run game was really non-existent. I don't think the Packers front six really got enough credit for how they handled that game. We can talk about pass pressure in a second, but in terms of their run game, they played really, really well, and the run game was non-existent for the Bucs. Like, the Bucs were good or great in multiple areas, pass protection, pass rush, special teams was pretty good, but they didn't play that great. Like, Brady threw 6 or 7 just pop flies down the field, misfired on several more.
He threw Mike three Evans, picks.
He had probably 3 more that should have been picks. I mean,
yeah.
Will Redmond dropped a pick. He had the one over the middle. He had 2 on the sideline that could have been picked off that were just pop fly. Like, he wasn't good in this game. Mike Evans had a drop. Tyler Johnson had a huge drop. Yeah, we're talking about the PI and the catch he had later in the fourth, but Tyler Johnson had a huge drop over the middle when they threw the targeting flag and then picked it up. But that was the one non-football play that happened that changed the game for me. Like, would the Packers have won the game without it? I don't know. Like, if I had to bet, I would have bet yes. Like, if you take that one play out, I think they would have won the game. But I think it makes it worse because Brady sucked. Like, Brady flat out sucked in that game. And I want to bring him up later in the second segment. Because they were so average in a lot of other areas, the King play, to me, makes it all that more irritating as a fan. As a non-fan, does it, I mean, yeah, you bet on the Packers, but how much of that play do you care about? Like, when you go back and you look at your balance dropping from that game, are you on board with me of saying, Kevin King, what the hell were you doing? Why can't we just lose this game on a regular play? Or you lost money, you don't care.
Well, I guess in the broader sense, yeah, when you lose money, it's, you know, there, you can't go back and do it over. But I don't think they lost it on that one play. I actually think, like, I accept your premise. If you're in deep prevent, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing correctly, you're within one score at halftime, right? Instead, it's an 11-point game. But even then, I feel like coming out of halftime, you got Aaron Rodgers, you've got the better team, it's still there for you, right? This is still doable. And then you blink and it's an 18-point game because we've got, you know, I want to give credit to the, you know, whoever makes that turnover. I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, it just seemed like another kind of freak play where the bounce went Tampa's way. And, you know, one play later, it's an 18-point game, Brady throwing a touchdown in the back of the end zone, which, I mean, it was a great call. Arians called exactly what he should have. You go for the kill shot right away. You don't try to work into an offense. But even then, now you're down 18. It's like, boy, the cover odds here are getting real low. but you've still got almost a full 30 minutes in Aaron Rodgers. And they did almost come all the way back. To me, it is more than one play. It's the Kevin King play at the end of the half. It's giving the ball away to start the second half, and then that immediately turns into six. It's not going for the touchdown down eight. I mean, you want to talk about plays that cost them the game. Go for the touchdown. And if you don't get the two-point conversion, you're in the exact same place that you're in right now. You still have to get the ball back and score again. So that didn't make any sense to me. I don't always love the Twitter second guessing, the should we go for it, should we kick the field. I don't always love that. Twitter loves to say go for it, because when you're on the internet and you're not actually playing in the game, it's all reward and no risk. Like, I don't love that, but that was a case where it was like, come on, like, why aren't you going for it? On the third down play right before that, Rodgers could have crawled into the end zone. So I think a lot of the blame is not on him for this game. That's one play where I thought he made the wrong decision trying to fit a pass in, where he could have just easily gone into the end zone and I don't think anybody would have touched him, especially given his gait, given his size. Like, he had that easily. And then, of course, I think what we're going to come to eventually is how the game ended. But by that point, it's hard for me to feel bad when so many other things have gone wrong in kind of spectacular fashion. So I don't think it was one play, but that is where you could start to see it unraveling, where you go, man, let's just get to the locker room with a one possession game and we feel confident that we're the better team. We can come back. Because to your point, I don't think Brady and the Bucs played that well in this game. I get that they won, but I mean, if ever there was a time for Mina Kimes' argument that wins are not a quarterback stat, like, this was a game won by Tampa's opportunistic defense, putting Brady into positions to be successful. And I think there's a stat out there, like, Tampa had three turnovers. They had 21 points off those turnovers. Green Bay had three turnovers. They had, like, 3 points or 6 points off those turnovers. That's the game.
So last week we went overseas. This week I believe we are staying in the U.S. of A. down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, correct?
Yeah, went to the EPL last week, last episode. Got that win, cash. Now we are looking at college basketball, which is a sport, if you've followed the podcast for a long time, very near and dear to my heart. So first sort of air horn college basketball play of the season here. I'm looking at Alabama versus Kentucky. Look, Kentucky is not good this year. I don't know how many times you have to watch John Calipari put his foot in his mouth before he realized that this team is overvalued. I think they're 5-8 against the spread. So they're not all that great against the spread. They're 5-9, I want to say, like their actual record. Alabama 13-3 right now. They've cracked the top 25, 10-5 against the spread. They've already played Kentucky once this year. That game was in Lexington. They won by a billion. Now the game comes to Tuscaloosa, and Alabama is laying 8 points. Yes, that's a lot in college basketball. You need a comfortable win. The back door is always open when you are laying 8 points. So you always have to worry about that. But these teams are not remotely equal. The fact that Alabama gets to play at home, they've been pretty hot. They've already beaten the crap out of Kentucky once. I like Alabama here for a double-digit win and to keep the woes coming for Calipari squad.
Mutual exclusivity. I want to talk about this because we kind of led into it unintentionally there in the first segment. I don't think that there needs to be one takeaway from a game. We'll get to Bills Chiefs too, because I think that kind of falls into this bucket. And especially from the Packers Bucks game, just as we even led into it, there doesn't have to be one takeaway. There doesn't have to be one headline, one thing we point to. I'm pointing to the Kevin King play purely as a fan. I'm certain that you get that, and I hope I explained that correctly. That's the one that's just hardest to swallow for me. Like, evaluating and reacting to that play, any other play, a game, we don't need to pick just one side. And seeing some reactions that I care about. Generally, I'm not going to react to reactions, but there were some reactions from people that I follow and that I care about their reactions, that it felt like a really good spot to talk about this, an important spot for this. Going back to kind of where we left off, you know, we can focus on the Packers blowing that game, blowing the three interceptions, like you said, turning into 3 points, LaFleur not going for it on that fourth down. If you want to go down that path, and that's another good one for this conversation too, that LaFleur part, we can focus on the Packers' errors, and we can just say bravo to the Bucs for picking up the fourth down late in the first half. Like you said, Bruce Arians making that call. They marched down the field on the first possession and smacked him in the mouth right away with some really nice third down conversion. I think they had 3 on that first drive. Like, they were average in a lot of areas. And while that's frustrating as a fan, given that Kevin King play, in my opinion, they were still good in the areas that to win the game. Like, we can accept both things here. Why do you think it's so hard? I'm asking you personally, why do you think it's so hard to say, to just say that the Packers blew it? Yes, they sure did, but the Bucs also won it. I mean, there's always this question, and we probably do this too, where we say, okay, did X team really win it, or did Y team lose it? And I think that does apply in some cases, but the Bucs won this game, the Packers lost this game. I mean, the Bucs got 9 yards on first down that final drive, and they picked up another first to seal it with that PI. I mean, why do you think it's so hard to just play both sides of it? Are we just in a society where you need to pick one side and you need to go to the extreme of that? And it's just so hard for us to look beyond that one piece of the pie when we need to look at the entire thing.
I don't think the Bucs played some really complete game here where they won out and won it. You know, they didn't fail to lose. They won the game. They went out and won it. I don't think they did that. I thought the second half that they played was so uninspired. They scored 10 points, and it's not like, well, you know, we were already up. We were just trying to control the clock. That is not what happened. Their offense looked bad in the second half. We had the turnovers that we talked about. They scored 1 touchdown, and that was because the ball was given to them. I mean, it wasn't given to them. The defensive player made a nice play, but they started with very, very, very favorable field position. Other than that, they had 1 drive that they managed to get into field goal, and they kicked a 40-something yard field goal. So this felt like, to me, that classic, like, the Packers didn't lose, they ran out of time type of thing. The Packers put themselves in a hole, and they couldn't quite get out of it. I didn't look at it as Tampa won the game. You're correct in that, you know, they had a great first drive where they'd really scripted that well, and they came out, and they got a touchdown on the opening drive. And they made the most of the opportunities given to them. And that makes sense, because that's what a Tom Brady team is going to do, right? You're going to do the most with what is given to you. So that part of it makes sense to me. But when you zoom out a little bit and look at what they've done in the playoffs, I mean, I keep saying this and I keep losing. So maybe I should change my tune at some point, but I thought I didn't like them to cover against the Redskins. I thought they would play a closer game than people anticipated. I was right about that. I thought that the Saints were the better team, and maybe to some degree that was true, but Breeze was so limited in that game that it was, you know, it became obvious that Tampa was going to win when they shuffled the defense forward. You know, Tampa winning that game late, given the condition that Breeze was in by the time that game kicked off, I mean, that was actually, I think a lot of teams would have won that game. And then everything that happened in Green Bay, this just, we talk about regression so much in gambling. At some point, it feels like regression has to happen. It hasn't happened yet, and they're going to the Super Bowl. All the credit in the world to them. But, I mean, not to give away the ending here, I think I've just kind of telegraphed my early leans for how I feel about betting on the Super Bowl. I don't know. I accept your point. It's something we emphasize a lot here is looking at all the angles and accepting more than one truth, I think, after you watch a game. But I didn't come away from this game thoroughly impressed with Tampa, and I didn't feel like they went out and played some complete four-quarter winning thing.
So it seems like we're in like 50% agreement. I agree with you on everything you said about the Bucs. They did not play great. I think I'm giving more credit to them for some of the things they did than you did. But in terms of the premise of my point of mutual exclusivity, it seems like you're on the same page with that. And if I let's go to the Kevin King example, the PI call. I think the PI call was right. I mean, I saw some immediate reactions because the shot they first showed looked really dicey, that he actually committed pass interference or holding. They called PI, could have been holding. At first, there were some reactions saying that it was a bad call. It seemed like after we got the actual looks, I don't think anybody was saying that it was a bad call. Anybody that mattered, at least. Anybody that has a brain was not saying it was a bad call. We can sit here and say the Kevin King PI call was right, but it was also extremely surprising given how that game was called, given how many plays they let go, given that they missed the Lazard hold or PI on that Rodgers interception. They missed other holdings in PI, or they just let them go. I don't know if they intentionally let them go or if they just completely missed them. They missed a lot of those calls for both sides. So in this case, we can have it both ways. We can say that the call was 100% right. I mean, there's no debate about that. If you don't think that was the right call, I don't even know where to argue with you. We can say it was the right call, but we can also say it was a surprising call. I mean, it's in baseball when the umpire isn't calling the low and away strike that is very clearly a strike. He's not calling that for eight innings. Then the ninth, he calls it. Yeah, it's a strike, but you weren't calling that all game.
Yeah, great analogy.
You can at least see both pieces of that, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. You can see the piece. Let's shift gears to the Chiefs-Bills games. I think that, I mean, if you think that Matt LaFleur should have kicked the field goal, I'm sure you think you agree with me here that Sean McDermott should have been more aggressive. Shooting that Matt LaFleur should not have kicked the field goal. You agree with me here that Sean McDermott should have done the same thing and gone for the touchdown. I think they kicked it from 4th-and-2 maybe early in the second half. We can say that. Like, Sean McDermott blew that. He had a phenomenal year, and he's doing a great job in Buffalo, but he blew that. He should have been more aggressive based on his post-game comments. He seems like he understands that. We can say that, but we can also say that the Chiefs were flat-out unstoppable for 90% of that game. Like, Kelce and Hill did whatever they wanted. Both things there can be true, and we don't just have to focus on saying Sean McDermott blew that. If they would have gone for it in those positions instead of kicking field goals, would they have won this game? I have no idea. I probably not. If I had a bet against it, I would have said no, even if they would have converted that 4th-and-2 early in the second half. I think it would have made it, 16-21 maybe. I'm still taking the Chiefs there. So we can say that McDermott blew it, but we can also just say that Chiefs were really good in that game. I thought it wasn't it 21-9 at half?
21-12?
And they kicked the field goal and made it 21-12.
Yeah, so it would have been what?
It would have been 21-16.
Right, yeah.
Are you trying to say something here?
No.
I think you're trying to imply something to make me feel horrible.
No, not at all. This isn't about you.
What do you think of Sean McDermott being less aggressive than he should have been?
Yeah, I don't think it mattered. I care a lot less. I agree with you. He should have gone for the touchdown. But I don't think it mattered. I think Kansas City was going to win that game. And I think it's easier to point to the Green Bay one in part because it was such an inflection point for the rest of the game. If you score there and you get the two, game's probably going to overtime.
We can say that Josh Allen played fairly well, honestly. I think that his legs were a huge factor for a team that just can't run the ball at all. He had 88 yards on 7 carries. That's gigantic. I think we can say that, but we can also say Josh Allen just didn't make enough plays. Like, does that mean this loss is on him? I don't think it is. I mean, your defense gave up 38 points, and I think it was 440 or 445 yards of total offense. I think it makes people uncomfortable to say that, yes, he had a good game. Aaron Rodgers had a great game. There were some throws that he missed. I have a hard time with putting the game on Aaron Rodgers and putting the game on Josh Allen because they weren't the reasons why, the biggest reasons why their teams lost the game. But I think it's okay to say Josh Allen played extremely well. His legs were a big factor, but he still missed a lot of shots. Do you think that makes people uncomfortable to play both sides of it there?
I think people have a really hard time with that guy played well and that guy lost, because it's complex and people don't usually, as a general rule, people don't usually do well with complex.
We can salute Tom Brady for making a 10th Super Bowl in 21 years.
Unreal.
That's insane.
Unreal.
It's insane. Nobody will ever do that again. I don't know if anybody will ever get to 6 or 7. I mean, we'll see what Mahomes does. If not for that offsides, he would have been 3 in 4 years. So maybe he could get there. I don't know if he's going to play 21 years, though. We can still salute Tom Brady for doing that, whether or not you like him or hate him. We can say, great job. That's awesome. That's an unbelievable accomplishment, one of the most unbreakable records in sports. We can also say Tom Brady sucked in that game. When Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, it was really easy, I think, for everybody to say that because he was so bad in that game. We can salute him for getting that second one and really locking up his legacy. But we can also say that you almost cost your team a win in that game. I don't know if, like, Jameis Winston would have played better in this Bucs game. Probably not. And put them in a better position to win. Tom Brady still hits some throws. But he also played horrible. What would we say, like 6 or 7 pop flies? We can say that Tom Brady has a phenomenal record and is a first ballot Hall of Famer. We can also say he did not win that game for the Bucs. Tom Brady was horseshit in that game.
Yeah, defense won that game. Defense was great.
Anything else here?
I don't think so.
21-16.
How long are you going to spend tonight after we're done here trying to figure out what that is?
Probably not that long.
You're going to text me at 4 a.m. Central.
Wake up with night sweats about 21-16.
Is it a 5 thing? What is it?
Be feces on the bathroom wall. Be bleeding from everywhere.
I got a great feces on the bathroom wall story for you, but not for the podcast.
Come back on Thursday, though. Maybe that's the podcast title. Feces on the bathroom wall. You shot down crop dusting in elevators about a year ago.
I think I did. I remember that. Yeah.
Maybe now it's feces on the bathroom
feces
wall.
Feces on the bathroom wall is a classier version of that.
Thursday will be the first of 3 Super Bowl episodes on High Motor by BetMGM. 3 Super Bowl episodes coming Thursday, Monday, and then Thursday. Again, tweet your questions to us at High Motor Pod. We'll get to those over the next week and a half. This is High Motor by BetMGM.
I saw a friend today. It had been a while. And we forgot each other's names. But it didn't matter, cause deep inside, the feeling still remained the same. We talked of knowing one before you've met, and how you feel more than you see, and other worlds that lie in spaces in